chapter. Proverbs. The way in which God speaks to His people. Proverbs chapter 1. You know, the Spirit of God had given some wise counsel back in verse 8 of this first chapter. This is what He said, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." The instruction of the Father is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the instruction of the Father. You say, where do you get that? From the mouth of our Father. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear Him." Hear Him. There's the instruction of our Father. The law of our mother, the heavenly Jerusalem, the mother of us all, Paul said. What is her law? Faith. Law of faith. Forsake that. And God's people, those regenerated by God's grace, they won't. They won't forsake it. Today, I want us to hear the instruction. That's what He said. Hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. And I want us to look for just a few minutes at that instruction. Matthew 11:15 says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." If God's given new ears, the ear of faith, the ear to hear, to perceive. That's what, when you look that up, when He says, "He that has ears to hear," to perceive, to understand, to discern. He that has been given a heart, a new heart that truly hears. There's three things I want to consider this morning. Number one, God has been pleased to speak to men. That's amazing. Here's the second thing. Man, by his carnal nature, refuses to hear. And here's the third thing. God will have mercy and compassion and cause men to hear. God has been pleased to speak to men. There's one reason that Almighty God is pleased to speak to men. There's one reason. This is the only reason that I can find scripturally that God is pleased to speak. Now just stop and realize, where is man as being fallen in Adam? Where is he? Well, he's dead. He's dead. He's blind. He's dead. He's deaf. Can't walk. He's dead. Spiritually dead. Why would God speak? Here's the only reason. Because He is merciful. That's the only reason. Deuteronomy 4:31, "For the Lord thy God is a merciful God." Merciful. Mercy implies that there has been rebellion. That's the implication. Mercy. Mercy implies that in myself I deserve something else. That's the implication of mercy. Mercy that is not deserved is not mercy. It's just mercy. He's merciful because He has chosen to be merciful. "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So therefore it's not him that willeth or him that runneth, but God that shows mercy." Mercy. "And His mercy is according to His distinguishing grace." He chooses to have mercy. He's the potter, we're the clay. Does the potter have the right out of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Does he have the right? Yes. Why? He's the potter. He made all things for himself. And I'll tell you this, his mercy is according, far, and by, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Only for Christ's sake. David asked, as a divine illustration, is there any of the house of Saul that I may show mercy to for Jonathan's sake? The Father, is there any that I will show mercy to for Christ's sake? Yes, all that He's chosen to show mercy to. Psalm 28:1, unto Thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, and be not silent to me, lest if Thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. When God speaks, and God has been pleased to speak, He speaks one way. Son, God hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. This is how He speaks. This is how we hear. When we hear the voice of the shepherd, we hear it in the gospel. We hear the truth concerning who God is, who man is, what Christ has done, where He is, what He's accomplished. That's His voice. The voice of the shepherd is His word. These words are life. This is His word. And say, well, that's just a book. No, it's not just a book. This is God's book. This is the foundation book. This is the Holy Scriptures. This is the written Word of God. And it's profitable. Profitable. For correction, for rebuke, for reproof, instruction in righteousness. God speaks. The Lord said in John 17:6, I have manifested Thy name, Your character. I have told them, Father, who You are. I told them who You are. And He says His name, that is His character. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them Me. They've kept Thy word. How is that, Lord? They believe Me. They kept His word. What is God's word? What is God's command? I quoted it this morning. What must I do to be saved? Believe. Believe. I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest Me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send Me. There's a miracle of God's grace. Here it is. Here it is. I had a guy tell me about 2 months ago, 3 months ago. I was in Louisiana about 3 months ago. Went to get Granny. I was talking to a guy. And he said, God doesn't perform miracles. I said, really? No, he was going to be cute. He says, it's not a miracle to God. He just does it. I said, no. I said, I'm not even going to talk to you about this. Let me tell you something. It is a miracle of God's grace. If you sit this morning and you believe God, that is a miracle. That is something that only God can do. It's a miracle. God alone creates. I take a little canvas. take a little tube of paint. Paint a little picture. Somebody said, you created a new painting there. Not, well, no. No, the paint was there. Brushes were there. Canvas was there. I just smeared it a little bit. Creation is out of nothing. God creates. God. Miracle. If you sit this morning and you hear and you thirst and you hunger and you're thankful, that's a miracle of God's grace. God speaks. So for God to speak, wisdom must be said to speak. Romans 16:27, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Wisdom. Wisdom is, the wisdom of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:24, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, the wisdom of God. So when we read, I've told you this before, when you read this, men by nature will read wisdom and they automatically start thinking of knowledge. I understand how they think that, but wisdom. Wisdom is Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 8:1 says, doth not wisdom cry? And understanding put forth her voice. Wisdom. Christ Himself, He who puts forth His voice through the gospel, through His church, through the bride. Does not wisdom cry? And understanding, when He speaks here. Here's a man. Is part of the bride. And the voice that I speak, you hear with a natural ear, but the voice of the bride that speaks concerning Him is His voice. Does not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? So, who speaks for God? Christ, the Messiah, the prophet of Almighty God. A prophet is one that is from God to men. He's the prophet. What's the priest? A priest is one that represents men before God. He's the priest. He's the king. Prophet, priest, and king. And where does he speak? All right, Proverbs. I'll answer that question. I just asked, where does he speak? Here it is right here. Proverbs 1:20. Wisdom crieth without. Wisdom's actually is that word. It's wisdom's. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians gives an understanding of this. Colossians 2:30. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So actually that word right there, wisdom, if you have a mine interprets it in the middle. It probably does in yours. Wisdom there is actually wisdom or the excellent wisdom. It's Christ. Wisdom crieth without. Without. Outside a formal, self-righteous religion. Without of a man's ability. Without of a man's understanding. Without. Wisdom crieth. Without, in the streets, that is in the Broadway, in the squares, in the chief place of concourse, what he says, wisdom crieth, uttereth her voice in the streets, in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, where does wisdom, where does the Lord Jesus Christ preach? Wherever He has been pleased to raise up a hearing. Wherever. He's got people. Every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, God has a people. And He's going to cross the path of His elect with the voice of wisdom. How did He get it to you? How did Christ get the gospel of His grace? How did Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, get His gospel, the gospel of God, to cross your path? Katy, West Virginia. Mom, how did the gospel get to Plosheville, Louisiana? Plosheville, Louisiana. About like Katy. How? Wisdom cried. The Scripture says, in the streets, chief place of, in the openings of the gates, the city, wherever He's pleased, Almighty God's going to cross the paths of His people. Remember the Lord said in that last day, that we just read it, that great day of the feast, any man thirst, that Almighty God was in that place at that moment and made that cry. Can you imagine the miracle of God's grace? And I'm telling you, every place that you were, how did this group of people get right here, right now? Streets, the broadways, concourses, where He pleased, He came. He passed by. Like that little baby, He said, there you were, laying in your own blood. Navel wasn't cut. You just, you're in a mess. He says, now's the time of love. Crossed your path. Sent a preacher. Raised up a preacher. Sent the word. We preach. We preach to every man. Not ashamed. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Where do we go? Wherever providentially He opens up. Wherever God Almighty opens a place. This gospel is preached to all men. He commanded us to preach to all men. We preach the gospel. The lot is laid in the lap of men, but the whole disposing of it is of the Lord. God does what God will. Why does one hear and another one doesn't? Because God does as He will in the army of heaven. Among the inhabitants of the earth. We preach where He has sent us to preach. What does wisdom say? Now, what does the Lord Jesus Christ say? Now, this is what, here we are this morning. Let's get it right down to right now. My question was this: who is speaking? God's pleased to speak to men. That was the point. Who speaks? Christ speaks. How does He speak? He speaks through this word, through His church, through her voice. But it's His word. These are not our words. These are words of life. He speaks through preachers. I'll send you pastors after my own heart. They'll give you understanding and teach you. That's a miracle to me. That's a miracle of God's grace. That a man would preach through the foolishness of what the world calls foolishness. Not foolish. It's not foolish what we preach. This is the wisdom of God. So God's going to speak. How does He speak? He speaks through His Son. How does His Son speak? Through the Scriptures. Through preachers. Through His church. Through His bride. What does He say? Well, verse 22 and 23. This is what He says. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. This is what He's saying. How long, ye simple? How long, you deceived? Deceived. That's what it means. How long, ye deceived, will you love deception? Simplicity. How long? You that are ignorant. Foolish. Ignorant of God. Ignorant of God's mercy. Ignorant of God's grace. ignorant of God's judgment, ignorant of your state of ignorance of eternity. How long will you have affection to be foolish? Now you know, you that believe, you know that man by nature is deceived. You know that. A man that knows that men are deceived is a man that's been brought out of darkness. If I'm deceived and I'm still in darkness, I don't know that. I hear men talk about being deceived. If I don't think I'm deceived, I'm thinking, you know, somebody can come to me right now and say, Marvin, if you believe that sovereign grace stuff, you're deceived. Well, I'll tell you this, in my mind, I'm not deceived. I see. A man that is deceived doesn't know it. He's duped. He's blind. He's ignorant. How long, this is what he says, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? How long, you deceived ones, are you going to love deception? And the scorners delight, mockers, scorners, mock. How long, you that mock God, you that scoff at His sovereignty, scoff at His gospel, scoff at His, mock His Christ. How long are you going to mock this? I'm not going to have this man rule over me. And you fools, fools that hate knowledge, fools, arrogant. That's what the word means, arrogant. How long are you deceived ones going to love your deception? And you mockers, how long are you going to mock and delight in that scorning? And you arrogant ones that hate knowledge, have you ever noticed men that believe that they have the ability within themselves to reconcile themselves back to God? Have you ever noticed the attitude that they have toward the gospel? They hate it. No. What you're doing is you're dethroning them. That's what you're doing. And you're trying to put them, in their mind, you're trying to put them in the dirt, and you're making them dirtier than they are in their mind. Don't call me a sinner. Now, I may not be as good as some, but I'm not as bad as all. And don't talk to me like that. I'm telling you, a believer loves to be referred to as a sinner. You know why? Christ came into this world to save such. Came into this world to save sinners. Those who in themselves are mockers against God, arrogant, deceived, rebellious. How long? How long? I tell you how long. Until Almighty God gives a man a new heart. That's how long. Or till Almighty God leaves him and judges him. How long? If God Almighty doesn't cause a man to be called out of darkness, how long will he mock God? Forever. What does he say? How long? Here's what he says. Turn. Turn you at my reproof. Turn at my right to chastise you. That's what he's saying. At reproof. Turn. I'll pour my spirit upon you. Now this is a divine command. Now all men, all women in this congregation and outside here, everybody, all men are commanded to repent. All men are commanded to repent. But how does a man repent? How does a man turn? How does a man change his mind? That's what that means. To change your mind. How? Repent. How? Jeremiah 31:18. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Lord, you turn me. Lord, you've commanded me to turn. Lord, you turn me, and I'll be turned. If you don't turn me up, I'm not going to turn. I know I'm not. So God has been pleased to speak to men. How does He speak? Through His Son. How does His Son speak? Through the gospel. That's His voice. What does He say? How long? Turn. Here's the second thing. Man, because he's carnal, refuses to hear. Verse 24, because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Because I have called, now listen, here's the call this morning. Now, there's a general call. You've heard that before. I mean, you know there's a difference in the general call and an effectual call. Whenever God Almighty calls, man that sits under the gospel this morning and hears these words, how long, you arrogant, deceived ones, are you going to love deception? How long? How long? You that mock and delight in that mockery, how long? Turn. Turn at my reproof, and I will pour out my spirit upon you. God's calling. God Almighty's calling right now. Now I'm going to tell you, just write this down. A man that refuses to hear, standing before Almighty God in just a few more moments, and it's just going to be just a few more moments. I'm telling you, a few more moments. You say, well, I don't think it. A vapor. Just life. Just a few more minutes. A few more seconds. A few more blinks of the eye. A few more quickening. Just vapors. Just stand before God. And He says, because I called and you refused. Many are called, Scripture says, Matthew 20:16, few are chosen. Many are called. It's going to take more than the natural hearing of this ear for you to come. No man can come. No man has the ability to come. That doesn't negate his responsibility to come. But no man can come except the Father which has sent me draw him. Effectually. When Almighty God calls effectually, gives them a new heart, new will, thy people are willing in the day of His power. Willing to come, willing to hear, willing to love, willing to bow, willing to cry, really, willing. Only when God Almighty gives a man, I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand. No man regarded. No man, no woman will stand before God and say, I didn't come because you didn't give me a heart to. I stretched. You refused. Verse 25. But ye have said it not, all my counsel. You would none of my reproof. This by experience, I know this. You hear the gospel without a new heart, and this is my attitude. You said it not. It was nothing to you. You just dismissed it. You dismissed my counselor. Man by nature scoffs, makes light of, rejected. But I'm telling you, and these are the words of God, there's coming a day when Almighty God is not going to have pity. Ezekiel 5:11, "Wherefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, surely because thou hast defiled my sanctuary with all detestable things and with all thine abominations, therefore will I also diminish thee, neither shall my eye spare, neither will I have pity." Verse 26 and 27 says, "I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. I called and you refused, and I'll laugh. I'm going to laugh at you." Man by nature. Well, I tell you what, you know, this is the truth. I mean, it goes against every ounce of flesh that there is. But right now, man by nature in his heart laughs at God. He laughs at Him. I want you to turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, 12, 13. "The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming." Now you think, boy, that is so plain and so, you know, buddy, there's a day coming. Listen, don't mock this. Don't laugh at this. Don't put this off. They mocked his mercy. He said, "I'm going to mock you when your fear cometh, when your dreadful calamity, I'm going to mock." Verse 28 to 32. "Then shall they call upon me, but I'll not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, the respect of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." Here's the evidence of absolute hopelessness. Let me read something to you. Job 27. If you want to turn there, it's all right. Job 27, 8 to 10. Job 27, verse 8. "For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained, when God taketh away a soul? Will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call upon God?" What's the hope of the hypocrite? What is the hope of one that finds his hope in deception? A hypocrite, deception, deceiver. What is the hope of one that finds his stability and deception? When God enters into judgment, will the hypocrite cry unto the Lord? Yes. Let me answer that for you. Yes. When your fear cometh, there's desolation, whirlwind. Verse 28. "Then shall they call upon me, but I'm not going to answer. They shall seek me early, but they're not going to find me." Why? They hated Christ. Will he call upon the Lord? Will the hypocrite call upon the Lord in trouble? Yes. Yes. Listen to this. Isaiah 26:16. "Lord, in trouble have they visited thee and poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. But will the hypocrite delight himself in the Lord?" Men by nature cry when they're in trouble. That's it. I've heard it said, and it's true, I know. Outward repentance that's born in adversity usually is gone in prosperity. How quickly we forget. But here's my last point. First point was, God's merciful to speak. Number two, man by nature just don't want to hear. But here's my last point. God Almighty will have mercy and compassion. And some will. And when they call, He'll hear. Last verse, verse 33. But whoso hearkeneth unto Me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Boy, that's like a breath of fresh air. That's like a cool drink of water right there. Man by nature. God speaks and man by nature says, I don't have time. More convenient season, I'm sure, will come. Just not right now. I just don't have time for you. And besides that, I just don't believe you. I just don't believe you. I don't believe you. I don't believe your Christ. I don't believe your gospel. Mock, mock, mock. Snub your nose. I've got my religion. I go to church. I'm just as good as you are. My church is just as good as your church. We believe basically the same thing. Mock. But whoso hearkeneth unto Me, he who hears, a believer, he's sitting there, he's listening to the gospel, and in his heart, he says, I heard that. I hear that. I hear of My need. I hear the voice. I hear the voice of the Master. I hear the voice of Him that sits on the throne. That's who I hear. I hear God. I hear God Almighty that has had mercy on a helpless, helpless. That's a good word. A helpless sinner. If you establish your salvation, friend, you better be able to keep it. If you started it, you better be able to maintain it. This thing of thinking, well, I gave Him my heart, now He's going to have to keep me from the... Oh, no. No, works is works. You start it, you keep it. But Almighty God, have mercy on your soul if you think that you've started something that you're going to be able to maintain. By the works of the flesh shall no man be justified. Oh, but he that hears, hearkens. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Oh, if you have been brought to see with the backdrop of despair that you need mercy. Mercy. Lord, I can't ask enough. Lord, I can't ask sincerely enough. Lord, I don't know how to maintain. Lord, I don't know what to say. I'm sitting there on the side of the road, wrapped up in this old blanket, and I can't see. And I heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me, because if You don't, I'm going to be sitting right here when You leave this town. I don't have any ability to make myself see. I don't have any ability to get up. I don't have any ability to change my circumstances. And Lord, what You've created, You must maintain. Whoso hearkeneth unto Me shall dwell safely. When He calls, you hear, you'll come. when He calls and gives that heart, that willing heart, when He sets before you life, you'll come, you that believe. You trust Christ as He set forth in God's report. Who hath believed our report? He said, you that hearken unto me. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. You're going to dwell safely because you dwell in Christ. You dwell in His everlasting love and company. In Him who is the rock of ages, He's the refuge. The most wonderful message is that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Helpless sinners. Sinners. Those that cannot, will not help themselves. I need a Savior. I need a Savior. The Lord speaks. Man by nature won't hear. But God's merciful to call some to. He'll give them a heart to. Okay, Gary.